أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. We seek the protection of God from Shaitan, who has been expelled from God's kingdom of special mercy. The reason for his expulsion are twofold. Number one is his arrogance. He knew what was right, yet he refused to accept. Number two was his defiance. He knew what was wrong, yet he deliberately and defiantly committed the evil act. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the beginning, we seek the help and guidance from God for three reasons. We believe He is Allah, the absolute perfect being, the only source of any perfection. And therefore, anyone who seeks to achieve any goodness or guidance must necessarily turn toward Him. And secondly, we believe He is Rahman. Each and every one of us is a representation and the continuous manifestation of God's love, mercy, care, and rahmah, whereby we come to life, we thrive, and we grow and develop toward our perfection. And thirdly, we turn toward Him because we believe He is Rahim. His extra mercy and love and care and abundant love is available to those amongst us who believe in Him, who submit to Him, and who model and shape their lives according to His will. وَالصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَىٰ سَيِّدِنَا وَنَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدْ وَآلِهِ الطَّاهِرِينَ. And we send our salutations and our greetings and our expression of love and loyalty toward the Holy Prophet of Islam. We believe he was the most perfect man who managed to reach the highest pinnacle possible for any human being for two reasons. Number one, his understanding of who his creator and maker and cherisher and nourisher was, and what the perfect attributes and qualities of this God were, and how God, moment by moment, has total control over every particle in the universe and governs it and directs it towards its purpose of creation. His understanding of this reality was the maximum possible for any human being. And secondly, this understanding was translated into action in such a way that in his personal life, be it in his thinking or his feeling or his behavior, be it in his public life, be it in the economic or political or social or family sphere, the Prophet was the most humble and submissive to the will of God. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduh wa rasuluh. And we also send our salutations and greetings on his holy progeny, who are the next best in perfection. And especially so on the third holy Imam, whose event we have now gathered to commemorate in these nights, whose supreme example of sacrifice and struggle in the way of God has become a source of inspiration for all times to come, up until such time when the final global justice shall be established with godly values ruling over the earth. Scholars in Islam, elders in Islam, brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Traditionally, on this night, we commemorate the sacrifice and the struggle of one of the beloved companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and who was also the companion of the Holy Prophet, Habib bin Madahir, who was from the tribe of Bani Asad. I received a question in the earlier session of from some of the youths, and the response to this is somehow related to the character and the personality of Habib. So allow me to read to you the question. We all know that Imam Hussein alayhi salam had foreknowledge. That means he knew what would happen to him. Therefore, how can you logically prove that he was not going to commit suicide? Incidentally, one of the characteristics of Habib bin Madahir was that he was granted the knowledge of the unseen. He was a close companion of the first holy Imam, the ilm al-manaya wa ilm al-balaya, the knowledge of the afflictions and the deaths, was shared to this close companion. There is this fundamental question: if Imam alayhi salam knew beforehand that the end result is death, why did he then proceed toward Karbala? It's as if he was then going to his definite death. I would like to answer this question in two parts. Part number one is whether this knowledge of the ghaib was possible for the Imam or not, especially in response to those people who believe that knowledge of the ghaib belongs to God and God alone, or maybe some of the prophets. And part two, if we accept the fact that he did have knowledge of the ghaib, how did that affect his decision to proceed toward Karbala? In response to part one, we know basically God is all perfect, and therefore he is infinite in existence, in power, in knowledge, in love, in mercy, in all the perfect attributes. And therefore he alone knows all the ghaib. And the Quran is emphatic on this reality. Surah An'am, for example, chapter 6, ayah number 59. وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُ. The keys of the secrets of the treasures of the unseen are in God's hand alone. Nobody other than Him knows what the secrets are. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. He knows everything that happens on the land and in the sea. وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. Not even a single leaf falls but that he knows about it. وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضُ. There's not a seed hidden in the depths of the darkness of the earth but that he knows it. وَلَا رَطُبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. There's not a single thing which is wet or dry, big or small, hidden or unknown and known, but that God alone knows in that special level of knowledge described as Kitab Mubin. And there are other verses which talk about this. One. Two. The Prophet sometimes was asked for information about events that had not yet occurred or about miracles that he had to perform, and he would say, I don't know. If God grants me the knowledge, then I would be able to do it. So there is a possibility that this knowledge of the unseen can be granted to some individuals. So for example, in Surah Ali Imran chapter 3, ayah number 179, Allah says, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُطْلِعَكُمْ عَلَى الْغَيْبِ. It is not in the wisdom of God to give the knowledge of the unseen to each and every one of you, the general public. وَلَكِنْ يَجْتَبِي مِنْ رُسُولِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. But he can select amongst the people some who can be elevated to a status where they can then be granted that knowledge of the unseen. And therefore we are not surprised some of the prophets knew the unseen. Chapter 3, Surah Ali Imran, ayah number 49. وَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ, Isa alayhi salam says, بِمَا تَأْكُلُونَ, what you eat in your privacy of your homes. وَمَا تَدَّخِرُونَ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ, and what you hide in the privacy of your homes. I can know that by God's informing me. So definitely some people can be granted the knowledge of the unseen. The possibility does exist. Of course, who to give what knowledge and when and how much, that is in God's decision. So for example, in Surah Jinn chapter 72, ayah number 27, Allah declares that عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ, He alone knows the unseen. لَا يُظْهِرُ عَلَى غَيْبِهِ أَحَدًا إِلَّا مَنْ ارْتَضَى مِنْ رَسُولٍ. However, he can select someone and give him that specific amount of the knowledge of the unseen. Imams therefore can possibly have the potential of receiving this knowledge of the unseen. Ordinary people were given this power. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ, chapter 28, ayah number 7. And you remember the time when the Holy Lady Maryam, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ مَرْيَمَ إِذْ انْتَبَذَتْ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا مَكَانًا شَرْقِيًّا وَاتَّخَذَتْ مِنْ دُونِهِمْ حِجَابًا فَأَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهَا رُوحَنَا. She secluded herself. Remember the story of Maryam? She became holy. She detached herself from everyone else. She devoted herself entirely to God. فَأَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهَا رُوحَنَا. Now her soul was ready to be given that special knowledge. فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهَا بَشَرًا سَوِيًّا. And this soul, this immaterial sacred entity was sent to her, who appeared before her in the form of a human being. Well, ordinary people could be granted that special knowledge, that special visitation. So it's not surprising that Imam Hussein was informed either by the Prophet, or no, he had direct inspiration from God about what is going to happen. Did not Ibrahim see a dream whereby he was informed? No, he was instructed. This is what you ought to do. Chapter 37, Surah Safat, ayah number 102. Ya bunayya, inni ara fil manami anni azbahuk. I've seen a dream and I'm slaughtering you. Fanzur madha tara. Now you tell me, what do you think about it? Qala ya abati if'al ma tu'mar. Dreams can be a means whereby knowledge of the unseen is transmitted. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, when he went to the grave of his grandfather, the Holy Prophet, before departure from Medina, and he was praying, and then we are told he went into a state of vision, and when he woke up, he said, I saw the Prophet, and the Prophet instructed me to go. When he was traveling from Makkah to Karbala, on the way he sees a vision. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Ali Akbar inquires, and he explains, we're going to our death. God can send information and instruction and inspiration about the future through a variety of means. It depends on the soul, to which extent that soul is pure and detached from the physical world and totally devoted to that higher world, and therefore can become the recipient of this extra knowledge. It's not surprising. And God knows everything. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ. We have created man, and we know every particle in his creation. We know what he thinks before he thinks, when he thinks, and after he thinks. God knows beforehand every human being, what is he going to decide to do. وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ. And if God so wills, Surah Yunus chapter 10, ayah number 99. لَهَدَا مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمِعًا. God could guide everyone on the earth to the right path. Not only does he know every particle in every being's creation, he has power over it. He can influence the thoughts. If God knows, he can grant that knowledge to anyone. It's not surprising. But his decision is to give freedom. Let everyone choose according to his will. And God knows before the choice whose psychological makeup will influence his behavior in which way. And that's not surprising. So response to question one, is it possible ever to know the future? Absolutely yes. Why? Because God knows everything beforehand, one. And God can transmit that knowledge to some people. Two, only those people have to be pure and perfect to be able to receive that knowledge. Other people receive inspiration from the Satan. Chapter 6, Surah An'am, ayah number 121. إِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ لَيُوحُونَ إِلَىٰ أَوْلِيَائِهِمْ. Shaitan makes wahi. Shaitan inspires. Shaitan insinuates. Shaitan plants ideas, thoughts. Shaitan can influence dreams. Shaitan can influence ideas. Shaitan can influence vision. If we believe in the negative, dark side of the world, why are we surprised the positive side and pure side does not work? Definitely it does. One. Two. If the Imam knew, would that influence his decision? Not necessarily. Very briefly, let me try to respond to this in the form of the parable that is mentioned in the Quran. Surah Kahf, chapter 18, beginning from ayah number 65 to ayah number 82, is the description of the meeting of Prophet Musa with Khidr. Two prophets operating in two different domains. Musa goes with Khidr. Khidr damages the boat. Musa surprised. خَرَقْتَهَا لِتُغْرِقَ أَهْلَهَا لَقَدْ جِئْتَ شَيْئًا إِمْرًا. You damage this boat, these people are going to drown. This is a dreadful act. Khidr explains, أَمَّا السَّفِينَةُ فَكَانَتْ لِمَسَاكِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ فِي الْبَحْرِ وَكَانَ وَرَاءَهُمْ مَلِكٌ يَأْخُذُ كُلَّ سَفِينَةٍ غَصْبًا. I was operating in a different domain. My responsibility was different. I knew the unseen. The unseen was that this boat is going to be damaged. This boat is going to be confiscated. Knowledge of the unseen, something that should prevent us from acting on our duty. If Imam Hussein knew that by his death, it will be a smaller loss, but he could prevent a bigger loss. Is there anything wrong with that? That's not suicide. One. Two. When Khidr came and killed that young man, Musa was shocked. أَقَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا زَكِيَّةً بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ لَقَدْ جِئْتَ شَيْئًا نُكْرًا. This is even more dreadful and evil. You have killed an innocent soul. He has not killed anybody else, that in retaliation he deserves to be punished. Khidr responds, وَأَمَّا الْغُلَامُ فَكَانَ أَبَوَاهُ مُؤْمِنَيْنِ فَخَشِينَ أَن يُرْهِقَهُمَا طُغْيَانًا وَكُفْرًا. We knew that when he grows up, we had the knowledge of the unseen. When he grows up, he will oppress his believing parents by disbelief and rebellion. فَأَرَدْنَا أَن يُبْدِلَهُمَا رَبُّهُمَا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُ زَكَاةً وَأَقْرَبُ رُحْمًا. We wanted to substitute him, this son, with somebody else, another child, who would be more compassionate toward his parents, and more pure and righteous. Knowledge of the unseen leading to the killing of an innocent soul. God in his plan could have engineered all the agents of the universe in such a way that that young man dies. Could have died by the angel of death. Could have been done by an accident. Could have been done by a stone. Could have been done by an animal. Could have been done by any of the agents under God's control. Musa had to be shown. You know how God operates from the unseen? And he showed Khidr working as an agent of God. Is that surprising that Imam could have access to the knowledge of the unseen? Yes, there is death. But if in the death, there is some future goodness to be achieved, there's nothing wrong in that. Number three. And Imam and Musa, Khidr repaired the damaged wall. لَإِن شِئْتَ لَتَّخَذْتَ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا. Why do you do free service to these people who don't deserve? And Khidr explains that this is for two orphans, لِغُلَامَيْنِ يَتِيمَيْنِ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ. And their father was righteous, and God willed it that because there was a hidden treasure, أَن يَبْلُغَ أَشُدَّهُمَا, that they should grow up and become mature, رَحْمَةً مِنْ رَبِّكَ, out of the mercy of the Lord, that they should gain the rightful ownership of that hidden treasure. Is it surprising that Imam alayhi salam had knowledge of the unseen and offers the free service to the ummah, expecting nothing in return, builds up the wall so that a greater treasure can remain behind for the future generations? Because the father of this ummah was Salih, who sacrificed everything he had and brought the ummah to guidance. Essentially, the core argument is this. In any situation, when the imam can know what is going to happen in the future, but the future is such whereby living becomes dishonorable and dying becomes honorable, No, living brings about loss. Death brings about benefit. Living leads to the damage to Islam. Dying protects Islam. There is no question that though the Ahlul Bayt and the Kitabullah are thiqlain, but at one level Kitabullah is a greater thiql and Ahlul Bayt are a lower thiql, in the sense that Ahlul Bayt will give up their lives to protect Kitabullah. And look at the declarations of Imam, where he clearly sets his goals out. Incidentally, even if you were to sit down and rationally assess the state of the Ummah, in Quran chapter 8, Surah Anfal, in ayah number 29, Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن تَتَّقُوا اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا. Forget the knowledge of the unseen. Even a person who is muttaqi will be given the power of furqan, to be able to know what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's bad. Where is the ummah in its present state? Where is the ummah going to the future? What is my duty now? That furqan is available to ordinary individuals. Rational analysis, inspiration from God. It's possible. So don't be surprised that Imam offers a rational reason for why he makes an uprising. Right in the beginning, when he goes and meets Walid bin Utbah in Medina, when he's summoned, you must surrender. Imam tells Marwan, عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ السَّلَامِ إِذْ قَدْ بَلِيَتِ الْأُمَّةُ بِرَاعٍ مِثْلِ يَزِيدٍ. I believe firmly that if this ummah is going to be ruled by a man like Yazid, we should say salam to Islam. One. Two, and I believe that they will hunt me down wherever I go. And he told Muhammad ibn Hanafiyya, وَاللَّهِ لَوْ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِي مَلْجَأٌ وَلَا مَأْوَى لَمَا بَايَعْتُ يَزِيدَ ابْنَ مُعَاوِيَةَ. I will try to oppose, but if there is no place where I can take shelter and protection, I will never ever surrender. Two, no, the state of the ummah is so bad, it is not my duty as Imam only. Let me tell you everybody else. When he reached the station of Karbala, when he addressed the companions, أَلَا تَرَوْنَ إِلَى الْحَقِّ لَا يُعْمَلُ بِهِ وَإِلَى الْبَاطِلِ لَا يُتَنَاهَ عَنْهُ. Don't you see the state of the Ummah? Batil is recognized, but it's neglected. People are openly committing evil. People know what is right, they're deliberately and defiantly abandoning haqq. فَلْيَرْغَبِ الْمُؤْمِنِ فِي لِقَاءِ اللَّهِ مُحِقَّ. It is the duty of every mu'min in such circumstances to make an uprising and to oppose. Not me, only as an imam. Number four, when he met Hur, the contingent of 1,000 that came and intercepted him at the point of Baydah on the way to Karbala. He said, haven't you heard the Prophet say, مَنْ رَأَى مِنْكُمْ سُلْطَانًا جَائِرًا مُسْتَحِلًّا لِحَرَامِ اللَّهِ نَاكِثًا عَهْدَهُ مُخَالِفًا لِسُنَّةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ يَعْمَلُ فِي عِبَادِ اللَّهِ بِالْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. This man is tyrannical. This man is trampling the law of God. This man is opposing the Prophet. This man is oppressing the people, exploiting them. And the Prophet has said, when you come across such a ruler, فَلَمْ يُغَيِّرْ عَلَيْهِ بِقَوْلٍ وَلَا بِفِعْلٍ. And then you sit silent, and you don't oppose either verbally, and you don't resist by action. كَانَ حَقًّا عَلَى اللَّهِ أَن يُدْخِلَهُ مُدْخَلًا. This silent people, complacent, passive, inactive people, deserve to be given nothing by God but the same punishment that He will give to this tyrant. For Imam, it was very clear, and he made it clear. إِنِّي لَا أَرَى الْمَوْتِ إِلَّا سَعَادَةً وَالْحَيَاةَ مَعَ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا بَرَمًا. Let me declare to you, for me to live in these times when there's nobody but a zalim ruling and there's an evil empire where people are silent, they're active agents supporting the zalim, or they're silently sitting and doing nothing, for me in such circumstances, it's not bearable. For me, death is more honorable. For Imam Hussein, the end was very clear. And don't be surprised, the end was also very clear for Habib also. He knew exactly what was going to happen. Bani Asad also had another companion of the Prophet, Anas bin Harith. It's reported that Anas bin Harith, immediately in the darkness of the night, when he came to know the Imam has arrived in Karbala, he said, I remember what I heard from the Prophet. And the Prophet said on one occasion, that inna ibni hadha, my son, this one, Hussein alayhi salam, yuqtalu bi ardhin yuqalu laha Karbala. He shall be killed in the land of Karbala. Hussein has arrived in Karbala. The Prophet said, and I heard him, this is a companion of the Prophet, فَمَنْ شَهِدَ ذَلِكَ مِنْكُمْ فَلْيَنْصُرْهُ. Whoever hears this, he must go and support and help my son. Habib came to the battlefield. Look at the support. Old man, companion of the Prophet, 75 years old. Head of the left flank of the army of Imam Hussein. Ana Habibu. If you don't know me, let me tell you, I'm Habibu wa Abi Muzahhar. And my father is Mutahhar or Muzahhar. Farisu Hayja'a wa Harbin Tas'uru. And I am going to fight like a brave soldier, though I'm very old, and though there is the heat of the battle. Wa antum a'addu uddatan wa aktharu. True, I accept you are bigger in number and more equipped. But we wa nahnu awfa minkumu wa asbaru. But we are more loyal to our righteous leader. We are more determined than you are. Wa nahnu a'la hujjatan wa azharu haqqan wa atqa minkum wa a'dharu. And we are more clear in our reasoning of what is right and what is wrong, but you're blind. And we are more dedicated and devoted to the cause of truth, and you're unwilling to die for the truth because of the world. That's the clear message Habib gave. Are we surprised that of the few companions which Imam Hussein did go to the battlefield was that of this companion of the Prophet, Habib bin Madahir? He tried his best to help the Imam. He went to his tribe Bani Asad and he said that, I've got a proposal to make to you. Bani Asad used to live in a place near Karbala. My appeal to you is, here is a man, he's been surrounded. Omar ibn Sa'd has come with an army of 22,000 according to this narration. I'm inviting you to something which will give you honor in this dunya and honor in the akhirah. Immediately 70 or 90 people responded yes of the Bani Asad. They went over, there was one traitor, went and informed Omar ibn Sa'd. Omar ibn Sa'd sent 400 people, there was a battle, and Bani Asad was defeated and they went back. Habib devoted his whole life for Imam, made his maximum effort to recruit as many supporters, and finally, in his own personality, he sacrificed after knowing what is true, after seeing that that is the best reasoning, and after showing his determination. As-salamu alayk ya Aba Abdullah wa ala al-arwah allati hallat bifina'ik wa anakhat birahlik. Alaykum minni jami'an salamullah abadan ma baqina wa baqiya al-laylu wa al-nahar. As-salamu alaykum.